Wednesday. Today is April the 17th, and you're listening to My Farm. With all the wet weather we have had the last couple weeks, nitrogen loss is becoming a concern in some of those fields as we get ready to go into planting season, especially if some nitrogen fertilizer had been applied early. We're going to talk about the whole denitrification process, how the different products work, and things to keep in mind as we head to planting season. We'll be back with that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Wednesday morning to talk about all the rainfall we've had and the potential impact on nitrogen loss. A great article in a recent issue of the Corn Newsletter dealing with this very subject. They say the recent heavy rainfall events have implications on the fate of applied nitrogen that we've seen. And year to date, we're experiencing 2 to 8% higher rainfall than normal. Now, nitrogen loss is exacerbated under such excessive rainfall scenarios through three different pathways. One would be runoff, another is leaching, the third is denitrification. So starting with runoff, the amount and intensity of rain that's been received may have caused substantial soil erosion. Fields with no cover or residue are more susceptible to nitrogen runoff. And if nitrogen fertilizer was applied recently in those fields, especially without incorporation into the soil, there is high likelihood that that nitrogen fertilizer being eroded out of the field. Leaching is another way we've mentioned, and the nitrate form of nitrogen is liable to leach down the soil profile. Leaching is more prevalent in coarse textured soils than it is in fine textured soils like our clays and some of the silt loams. In addition to the amount of rain, the amount of nitrogen lost through leaching will depend on a couple things, one of those being the type of fertilizer that was used. Leaching loss for nitrogen depends on the amount of nitrate that's present in the soil. Fertilizers that contain nitrogen in that nitrate form, such as UAN, increase the chance of leaching loss because of large portions of UAN exist as the nitrate form. According to Haviland's report, most of the anhydrous ammonia gets converted into nitrate in about 3 to 8 weeks, whereas 25% of UAN is in that nitrate form on day one of application. 100% of it is converted to nitrate within 1.25 to 2.5 weeks. And enhanced efficiency fertilizers that either include nitrification inhibitors or protective coverings do reduce the leaching potential by slowing the conversion of the source into that nitrate form. Another factor is the crop stage. Now, we obviously don't have much growing right now, and if the field is bare, nitrate leaching potential could have substantial implications. The presence of a cover crop or wheat during this time of year can reduce the nitrate leaching. The nitrogen uptake of wheat during the dormancy or early green-up stage is minimal, so it makes nitrate leaching liable down. If the wheat was in a stem elongation phase, then that nitrate leaching is less likely due to the increased uptake of the nitrogen and prolific rooting system of wheat at that stage. Denitrification was the other one we mentioned, and when soil is saturated with water during or after that rain event, nitrogen can actually be lost to the atmosphere through the denitrification process. The denitrification process refers to that conversion of nitrate form into a gaseous form, and the amount of nitrogen loss depends on how long soils stay saturated and soil temperatures during that water logging, with warmer temperatures obviously accelerating the denitrification losses. And there's different tables out that really show how this plays out based on the temperature and percent nitrogen loss, as well as the number of days that soil is saturated. So that's an interesting thing that you can take a look at. Just visit the Corn Newsletter website at corn.osu.edu. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We want to change directions, talk a little bit of trade, as recently the USDA led a ag trade mission to South Korea that was designed to build upon existing relationships to diversify export opportunities in that market. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
Some of the numbers associated with USDA's latest agricultural trade mission, a recent visit to South Korea.
Our U.S. delegation included 36 businesses, 12 agricultural associations, and 5 states were represented, including secretaries, directors, or commissioners from Arkansas, California, Indiana, and North Dakota. This was USDA's second trade mission to Korea. The first was in 2018, and it's the second of 7 that we will be hosting this year to support U.S. food and agricultural businesses.
That's Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs Alexis Taylor discussing the mission with reporters after returning from South Korea.
Our exporters and businesses that we had with us conducted 616 meetings with potential importers and buyers looking to expand the variety of U.S. food and agricultural products that they're offering to Korean consumers. And those participating companies reported $67 million in projected 12-month sales from those meetings, which are really pretty remarkable numbers.
This builds upon an already strong trade relationship between the two nations and access to a strong export market.
Exports of U.S. food and agricultural products to Korea were just over $8 billion last year in 2023, really built upon the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, but also a really strong and strategic bilateral relationship that we have. That $8 billion of U.S. food and ag exports made Korea our 5th largest single country export market. The top 5 U.S. agricultural exports related to Korea were beef, pork, seafood, wheat, dry distillers, grain, DDGs, and food preparation. But we also see a lot of diversity going into that market. So we see really strong interest in U.S. fruit and vegetables, nuts, dairy and eggs, coffee, distilled spirits, pet foods, and then consumer packaged goods, condiments, and sauces.
Commenting on the recent mission, 2 state Ag Department heads and delegation members, Indiana Ag Director Don Lamb and Arkansas Ag Secretary Wes Ward.
My first time to Korea, just learning about building those relationships, learning that culture, and really learning about the political situation that they're in and how that affects us.
We're trying to grow our exports here in Arkansas and diversify our markets, and that certainly was a big topic for this trade mission.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.